Vince. Hello! Hey, this is Jay Nemro. You guys know me. And you're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 708. I was just thinking, you know, every time I get into one of my rants, let me tell you, 707 was a rant. Big time, you know. Let's attack this. Schools are evil. I don't know if I plead for your just giving me kind of a break. I don't know. But those of you that don't know, you know, this is not a scripted show, of course. I'm doing it in my car while I travel. I just get my car because I've got to go and work somewhere. And when I'm in the car driving to one of my things, I do tons of driving. And it's usually for a couple of hours on the road. There's nothing to do. You know, you can listen to talk radio, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get tired of listening to talk radio. Or you can do something else. So I camp this whole thing, go all my equipment to do my recordings. And so, you know, that's how it goes with. I'm not saying, oh boy, I'm gonna get a podcast and it's gonna get popular and it's gonna make me rich and I can quit my job and just podcast all the time. No, it's nothing like that, which is kind of a silly thing to think you'll be able to do anyway. But, you know, and there's no script half the time. I don't even have a topic really to talk about. And if I do have a topic, I'll wander from it. And I'll be doing something else instead. You know, and that's just life. What are you going to do? So anyway, so there's my explanation of what I do and why it is. And I hope you guys don't get just immediately turned off, you know, and say, boy, I'll never be on that. That's a crappy podcast. You go, of course a crappy podcast. If you're trying to look for a polished, well-structured, you know, we do show prep type of thing, guy, I can't even begin to do that. I fit this into my spare hours that would otherwise be lost. So, I hope you're cognizant of that. If you're thinking I'm going to be, or this podcast is going to be something, you know, amazing, it's not. You know, you can look at it as a personal journal, you can look at it as any number of things, whatever. But I hope I talk about things that are interesting. You know, and I don't want to turn people off particularly, but, you know, I've got some pretty interesting ideas. It kind of comes with the territory of being a Zenith. And I don't look at this as being a Zenith support group. You know, people will listen to my show, I hope, and just say, oh, that was interesting. Boy, he's got an interesting take on things. Feel free. And I don't really like it when I go into the rants, particularly, you know, because it becomes all kind of self, you know, kind of navel-gazing. And honestly, I've got a pretty good life now, you know. No matter how my life was in the past, no matter how much of a weird childhood I had, a little whatever, you know. I'm doing pretty good right now. And I'm grateful for that. I credit the love of a Heavenly Father who is marvelous and is caring and understands me. Where I don't know if a lot of other people understand me, He does. And He's trying to steer me in good directions to keep me out of trouble. And I don't like it when I rant because it's usually self-serving. It really doesn't serve any purpose. I would like for it to be a better world for my children. You know, I won't say this. I don't hope to solve all the world's problems. All of a sudden, autistic people will just be loved and appreciated for what they are and what they might be able to contribute. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. but maybe, even if it's just within my own family, I'll find ways to be a little bit more accommodating. I think already I've tried to be a little bit less society-serving in how I raise my kids than my parents were able to be. Of course, they came from a universe where society is everything. And I don't mean like going to parties and stuff like that. I mean just doing what's expected of you, what your culture expects you to do, that was the most important thing. You know, and I'm not saying that that's new. I'm not saying that that's particular to them and how horrible they are, because it's not. Under normal circumstances, that's the right thing to do, because your life will be happier. For locals, you know, locals have a happier life just simply because life fits them. Everything about, you know, the way schools run, the way work goes, things like that, is kind of, you know, over time it has evolved into a system that just kind of works for normal people. Unfortunately, I'm not a normal person. Most of my kids aren't normal people, or aren't normal enough. And I don't, you know, I want them to have an easier time of it than I do. I've gotten past the whole thing about, well, life is hard, get used to it type of thing. I think that's a fallacy. And it's also a convenient lie we tell ourselves. For most people, life isn't terribly difficult at all. You know? If you go to school and you sit through school, they will give you a toolbox of skills that should be able to serve you decently well. If you go to college, you get some more tools that will serve you maybe a bit better. Maybe. You know. And I'm not trying to discourage you from going to college. I think going to college is a good idea. Just from the whole standpoint of it, opens up more possibilities for you than you would have just going to high school. You know, just from a pragmatic, practical standpoint, going to college is a good idea. Now, all the other gobbledygook that one would hope college would do, you know, you can question that. I do. But, you know, so just the fact that you'll have jobs open up to you that make more money or that aren't as difficult but make more money type of things, that's great. You know, and other facets of college may be silly or foolish or whatever, and, you know, so what? Makes it happen. I think, you know, and I'll be really honest, I think public education, I think schooling, especially primary and secondary schooling, by and large, has no value besides the fact that when you're done with it, they'll give you a piece of paper that will let you go to college or that lets you have pretty much jobs. Society's pretty much decided that unless you have a high school diploma, they don't have anything for you. You know, do I think that is an honest way to be? Do I really think that people who don't have a high school graduation certificate really are kind of putzes and we shouldn't be letting them function in society? No, I think it's really disingenuous. Because, I'm sorry, school in and of itself is, to my way of thinking, a waste of time. The amount of time it demands, the things that it thinks are so important to do, when it gets down to it, almost none of them are very important. we had more intelligent people when they were taught at home by people who had other things to do besides saying, well, now is the time we're going to sit aside 4 hours to teach the children about math. You know, it's like, hello, we didn't really need that. Most people could probably skip school altogether. I tried to convince my wife of this, but she just won't do it. She just has too much faith in the system. And I'm the first guy to say, I think the system's a bunch of crap. You know, I think children left themselves playing all day would probably be more prepared for life, more prepared for college, than what school does. Oh, but they'll be running around crazy, and you go, well, maybe they'll learn something about power, you know, how to make power plays on their friends, or, you know, evil, you know. There's plenty of things to learn, period. And, yeah, I think if school was an hour a day, or, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week, you know, I think that might be a good time to value ratio. I think right now it's horrible. The fact that they keep you all day, basically, well, not really, but basically office hours. I think the main reason they do that is to quote unquote prepare you for a time when for a life of having, you know, 8-to-5 jobs. And I think that's funny because I don't think it requires any preparation. I don't think you need to, you know, well, they need to be psychologically and philosophically capable of putting a good day's labor from 8-to-5, sitting in a chair, behind a desk, doing kind of, you know, paperwork that we kind of manufacture. That's important. And it's like, well, you know, I'm sorry, I don't think that's something we need to spend the first 12, you know, that we need to spend 12 years of life trying to drill into their heads. You know, it was mostly put into place so that people who had other ideas, who wanted to do something else and wanted to live their own life, you know, would say, no, this is what constitutes life. I've been doing this for years and I'll just continue to do it. I think that's what it was. It wasn't because it was needed. It was because certain groups wanted to encourage that kind of behavior, which isn't really natural at all. Anyway, so, okay. I'm hoping that I can make my kids' life a little bit nicer than mine was. Most of my kids, many of my kids will be homeschooled. Not all of them, but many of them. You know, and I hope that sets up kind of a trend that my children will, the ones that were homeschooled, will probably homeschool their children. And this is how you create new cultures. This is how you create new societies, is by making a definite break, at least in some ways, with the past and saying, you know, we're coming to, you know, on to somewhat mature cultures that have been around a while, that although when they started they may have had a reason, a good reason, even a published reason, that they would that things were the way they were. You know, times change, new people come in, and different people. I find it very interesting that a lot of people say, people are just different now, you know. The older generations, you know, poo-poo-poo it. Oh, they're just not willing to do what we used to do. And you're like, well, maybe the things that you guys used to do are worthless. Or you were just obeying some orthodoxy and you felt like it was a high and mighty thing to do. And I'm the first one to say, you know what? I guess, I don't know if it's unique. I don't think it's unique with me. I don't know if it's unique particularly with my generation. But just to have people who say, you know what, I'm not willing just to blindly follow what the culture says and spout the same kind of diatribe that my parents or my grandparents or my great-grandparents or society at large says, you know, well, there's a great value to working really, really hard. And you go, you know, and I'll be really honest, says Weekend at Bernie's when I forget the guy's name. Larry. Now, I'm not saying that he's a good person, because he's not. He's got some pretty reprehensible morals. But when people say, you know, oh God, I've got a traffic jam on a country road. What the heck is this? People driving around like, whatever. Anyway, his friend is more of taking the bait, as I say. You know, you work hard, you try, you rise up in companies, you do stuff like that, and you know, you learn how to get ahead and blah blah blah. And Larry's the guy that's saying, you know, that's a bunch of garbage. That's not true. You know, and he can give you concrete examples. Of course, that guy will say, no, no, I'm not going to be like that. I believe that it really works. You know, there might be 5 million examples of the fact that the world really isn't like that, and maybe even never really was, and that we were just being played for dupes by saying, oh yeah, if I work hard and I keep my nose clean, and I'm not saying that you should do bad things. I'm not saying that. But you know, when this all began, there was a certain trade-off. You know, people would say, okay, you give me this labor and I'll give you this money. And now it's not really like, you know, and if you do a good job, you know, I'll give you a raise. You know, you'll be worth more to me and, you know, I'll pay you more. And of course, that fantasy is pretty much gone. And everybody knows that we all laugh about it and kind of joke around and say, well, yeah, right. Like, that's really the way it is. Please. And it's like, well, yeah, okay, so? And you go, oh. You know, and then it becomes a question of, what do you do about it? And people don't do anything. Oh, no, I'll just keep on doing it. I'll act like it's still reality, even though I know it isn't. Because it may work that way. I may get lucky. It's, you know, people start believing in magic, that there's some magic incantation that if you do what people say, you'll be able to have those things, you know. Well, they just didn't do it right. Well, they were just telling a story. It's like, no, it really doesn't work like that. We've figured it out over the years. Yes, you were lied to. And that's all there is to it. It's like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. No, no, we're not kidding. That really is the honest truth. Sorry. Anyway, go. Da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I hope by kind of, it's not really an evolutionary thing, but it kind of feels like it sometimes. That by something, whoa, golly, by something akin to evolution, I can do better things. My family's life will go better. I can't change the culture, generally. Too many people are very happy with exactly the way it is. You know, it's become very profitable to have large groups of people that are kind of shills that can be manipulated easily. So, is the school going to change and try to make people more savvy, more intelligent, smarter? No, why not? Well, because the dominant culture really doesn't want them to do that. So much of our economy is based on almost tricking people into doing things that an intelligent person wouldn't do. So yeah, school's not going to change. The way things are really isn't going to change. Too many people profit off of the way things are. That's not going to happen. That's why, you know, when I first started doing these recordings, God, years ago, a long time ago, and I would talk about, you know, I would call people cows, and that was back in the days of the quasi-indefatigable Zenlith recordings. I would call people cows, and one of the things I would do is try to teach people how to live under the radar screen. You know, freedom comes from living low and living small and living quietly so that you can eke out as much freedom as you can. Of course, that was long before I got into the whole thing about, well, maybe I'm a Zenith, maybe. That was when I wasn't really on to that particular shtick. And, I don't know. What am I saying? Gee whiz. I'm interested in trying to make the world better for my kids, and it doesn't bother me to tell you guys about it. This is not a well-listened-to podcast. I don't ever intend for it to be. I intend for it to be this weird little dirty secret. I don't advertise it particularly. Know that you are part of an exclusive group if you listen to Jay's podcast, because there's not ever going to be very many of them. If you want to put it up on advertising sites for podcasts and stuff like that, feel free. Feel free. Don't wait for me to do it. I don't have time, and I'm not interested. If you guys want to put together different feeds and say, here's a feed where Jay talks about school, you know, Jay's anti-school rant, and you have 6 or 7 different recordings, you know, you can feel free to link to my stuff. Doesn't bother me in the least. Go ahead. I'm not going to exercise any real intellectual property control over this stuff. I'm doing it in a car while I drive around. Yada, 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 yada. Jay just talking. Because it's more interesting than listening to talk radio or to music. I hope that when I do all these rants and stuff like that, that you know, it is to a degree venting. You know, oh, the world's a horrible place. You know, but hopefully at the other end, I'll say, you know, here's something else you can do. I'm not trying to change society. I'm not trying to change school. Mostly what I'm trying to tell people is get away from school. School is one of the worst places. It may be a bad place to put people in general, but I'm willing to say that it's probably not too bad of a place to stick locals. It's a horrible place to stick a Zenith kid. It's a horrible place to put an autistic kid. If there's any way that you can get along without sending your kid to school, do it. You know, for the sake of that child's sanity, happiness, and future joy and success, keep them out of there. Not always. And I think I've talked about this in earlier episodes, but I don't mind doing it again. I've always wondered if it would be useful to have kind of a Zenith commune. Zenith communes. You know, but I always stop by saying, how on earth would we as a group make money? How do we keep from killing ourselves? Who on earth would we get to be anal about, you know, to handle the day-to-day stuff of life that we would just rather not have to worry about? Cooking, doing the dishes, washing clothes, bathing, for Pete's sake, any of that stuff. Who would we get us to do that? Or would we just come up with a wonderful system where, you know, take care of all those needs in about 3 seconds, you know, put you through a sprinkler system, warm bath to kind of clean you off, spray foam on you. It's an interesting idea. You know, when I find myself attracted to things like ultralight backpacking, it really becomes an efficiency thing because I'm kind of an efficiency freak. You know? I like efficient things. And, you know, that's great. Someday I would like to have more efficient things. Why did I get off the interstate here? Interesting choice. There's still people living out here? Vista? I wonder if some of these places are for sale. Is this an actual place? This is Newkirk, isn't it? I should check out and see what kind of things are still available in a place like Newkirk. Because here's somebody's old ramshackled house. I'm always looking at new possibilities. I want to get a little bit away from people so that I can, so that I can have some freedom to do some things the way I think they should be done. And they're totally not in code. You know, you actually have to end up doing it in a way that just, you know, you have to be practically hidden behind some hill where nobody ever goes to, and they go, I didn't even know anybody even lived there. And you go, that's the best circumstance of all. I don't want to be obedient to the orthodoxy because I don't think that what they came up with really makes a lot of sense. I mean, it works, but it isn't the only option, although they swear up and down that it is the only option. It's the only option they're going to tolerate. It's the only option that they're going to allow. Anyway, so. Was that the turnoff? Let me make sure. What is that turnoff? That doesn't look like Newkirk. So I guess it is. Anyway, so. Oh, I don't know. But yeah, I'm trying to live a kind of life that makes more sense to me, although I come to find out that many of the things in a life that would make more sense to me are illegal or expensive are basically just not permitted. You can't do that, sorry. It isn't because they are bad things or stuff like that. I swear it was because at some point in the past, somebody said, wait a minute, I'm not making the kind of money I could make. You know, too many people are building their own home. I don't like that. So, I'm not going to make it illegal for them to build their own home, but I'm going to make it so massively difficult and so obnoxious that they'll stop. And then, for people like me, you know, people like me, who are, like contractors, you know, oh, I'll be doing much better. Much happier. Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, so, there's that. You know, and sometimes I resign myself to, I'll wait until after I'm dead. God will give me a better circumstance after I'm gone. After I've passed on from this existence to something else, things will get better. But then it's like, well, wait a minute, why wait? Why resign myself? So I fight with the whole just resigning and saying, you know what, this is somebody else's world. And I have, you know, and there's nothing for me, you know. I'm married to Lisa. She's a local. I love her to death, and you know, she just wants to have a life like everybody else around her basically has, and I'm stuck, you know, because, you know, it isn't like, well, I'm going to hate her because of this and this. Those are pretty pathetic things to hate somebody for. And I'm not going to do it. I love Lisa. It's sad. I really wish that, you know, she'd come around to my way of thinking. But she doesn't. And I refuse to require it of her. I refuse to push her. That's not what... If I have any ethics at all, and I may not have many, at least the one is that I'm not going to make other people suffer for my sake. You know, I will tell my kids, you know, if you're going to do some crazy, wild stuff, make sure you do it young, and make sure you marry somebody who's into crazy, wild stuff too, so that you guys can have fun together. And that's it. You know? Anyway. So, I hope that all the ranting and raving and everything else that I tend to do ends up being a positive thing. You know? Even though I do, I get upset at myself. Boy, you're such a guy. Why don't you get off these topics? You know, they're just depressing. And who wants to listen to you rant and rave about what you don't like when plenty of people like it just fine? Okay, you know. But, you know, this isn't really a podcast for those people. I put this podcast out there, whatever audience that it attracts. You know, I come from a culture where it says, you need to censor yourself so that everybody else can be happier. And this is my chance to say, you know what, fine. I says, I'll be quiet. You know, if you were to meet me on the street, for instance, and you were to come up to me and say, you know, Jay, I'll listen to your podcast, I'll probably roll my eyes and go, oh, guy, am I really prepared for what you're going to tell me? Am I really in the mood to hear this? And it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Because I'm always worried about, they're going to say, well, Jay, I think you're just a sad, pathetic, you know, you need to get up off your duff and brighten up. Yeah. And it's like, okay, It's all right. People can think that. That's why when I first started this, I almost said, you know what? If you don't have nice things to say about my podcast, don't bother responding. Well, nobody responded. So it was like, oh, well. Although I did, you know, I can watch the statistics and see what gets downloaded. And it does, and things do get downloaded. But, you know, I haven't checked the statistics in so long. It doesn't really matter. I throw the stuff up here. It doesn't take very long. It isn't like I'm terribly invested in this. But I can keep it going. You know, other people will say, you know, if I'm not getting rich and famous in the first 5 episodes, I'll just stop my podcast. Because the whole point was to get rich and famous and to quit my day job so that I can just tell people, you know, I can just talk. You know, it's really kind of cool to think that people get on the radio, you know, and they get paid millions and millions of dollars just basically to talk on the radio and have a good time. Wow! How cool could that be? And I, you know, and even though I've thought about it sometimes, that really wasn't what the Life Autistic was supposed to be for. In one facet, I guess, I was hoping that with just talking a whole lot that I would get better at it, you know, and that it would go better. I would drop off some of the weird inflections, a lot of the uhs and a lot of the you knows and things like that. And hopefully I have over the episodes. But I don't think some wonderful radio programmer will pick up my podcast that nobody, well, not nobody, but a very small audience listens to and say, oh, I want to put this guy on the radio. I bet you he would make us lots of money. That would only be true if my podcast was very well listened to. You know, if thousands, nigh millions of people listened just with bated breath to hear what Jay was going to say. And they're not going to because, guy, I'm recording this in the car. I don't have any kind of show notes at all. I don't have anything but a steering wheel in front of me and a road. And, yeah, you can't do radio that way. That's not how it works. You know, there it is. Anyway, so. I want to have a little bit of life that seems to fit me. It doesn't have to be a whole bunch. It doesn't have to be a whole bunch, but I'd like to have that someday. You know, people can say, well, Jay, you just married wrong. And you go, that's the past. That's the past. It's like, you know, if for some reason you made a permanent change in your life and afterwards you kind of regretted it, you don't want to live your whole life with that regret. You want to say, hey, man, there's nothing I can do about it. You know? Well, you should have married better or whatever. It's like, no. That isn't the question. I'm going to trust God. When God told me to marry Lisa, I'm going to trust God that He had an idea in mind. He had a better thought. And that this is all going to work out for my good, or the good of somebody. I have no idea if it has to do with me. Sometimes I really do question, you know, since I'm an alien on this world anyway, if God sent me to make somebody else's life more pleasant, you know, and that when I get up there, he'll say, well, you know, It wasn't for you, Jay. You know, your happiness was, frankly, immaterial. You know, now that would be a shot in the gut for him to say, you know, it's just, it's not that I wanted to make you unhappy. It's that my decision process in sending you at this time and married to Lisa and having these children that you had, you know, it was for Lisa's benefit. It had nothing to do with you. Except that you would put Lisa's needs before your own. Perhaps. And I hope I do. I hope I do that. Oh, great. What the heck is that? That's entrapment. There's a cop sitting right there at the very end of a driving at the end of a construction zone. Of course, the fines are doubled in construction zones. He's just out there with his little radar thing going. It looked like it had a camera too. And he's just probably taking pictures of vehicles that he's going to find later. Great. I don't like this world sometimes. You know, aren't police officers supposed to be serving and protecting? What about speed traps are serving and protecting? Well, if people drive slower, it'll be safer. And you go, you know what? I get into more trouble having to slam on my brakes thinking that you're going to nail me. That's much more dangerous than driving fast. And I wasn't really driving fast. I think I was going 55. So I think it was a 45 zone. I do. There's very little about this world that interests me. And, you know, I don't know what to tell people. So I don't, you know. When people say, well, autistic people, they just don't get out, they just don't talk, they don't tell us what they're thinking. And you're going, because we were told if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so we don't say anything. That, and whenever we do say something, people go, oh, that's just crazy. That's just dumb. Why on earth is that anything worth even talking about? Well, there's some cool things. There's some people who are using those pedal bikes. That was cool. It looks like people who had been heard like double amputees or something. And this is how they get out and do stuff. If there's anybody out there listening in the western United States, even in eastern New Mexico, and you say, you know what, Jay, you can live out on my ranch, you can put up your tent out on my ranch, and you can just do... You can do what you want, as long as it's not, and I promise, I'm that kind of a person, you know, I'm very cognizant of making sure I don't impose on other people. I really don't. If you want to sell me some property, I'd love to have it. Now, I'm broke, I'm cheap, so you aren't going to get rich off of me. But if you have need of just somebody to come and stay out someplace, you think that your ranch would be safer if there were somebody living out in the boonies of your ranch, not doing any ranch work for you, I don't really want to trade my presence there for work. I mean, I'll be happy to do computer work for you and be neighborly that way, golly. If that's what you want to call the trade, I'm perfectly willing to do it for you. But I really do. I want to get some separation between me and humanity. Not that I think humanity is is evil. Not that I think all you people are necessarily stupid. Oh, sometimes I really do wonder. But, you know, they're really, I don't fit in here. And it's really depressing. I find it depressing. And I just want to, come up with some more authentic, at least for me, authentic Zenith way of being. And I really need to get away from people to be able to do that. If you could just let me have an acre of land, I'm not even sure if I need a water well. It'd be really nice, though. If you hadn't had an acre of land, I'm not going to cost you a penny being there, I don't think. You know, I don't want a house. You know, I'll come with whatever I need to put up and build. I want it to be far enough away from civilization that they don't bother me. I don't want the cops driving down a road to see what I'm doing, pull over and say, "You can't do that. That's illegal. Do you have a permit to do that?" I don't want that. I don't want to have that anymore. So if you have that opportunity for a guy like me, I'd love to have it. I don't want to be taken advantage of, though. But honestly, if you're paying somebody just to sit in a house so the house doesn't get torn up or something, or if you want somebody to live on your land and you don't want it to cost you a lot of money, that's me. I'd love to do that. I'd love that circumstance. Now I'll have to just try to figure out a way to talk Lisa into it. How I'm going to do that is anybody's guess. I don't have a clue. Anyway, if you do have one of those things, feel free to contact me. The email address is autism, autism@quix.us. Or if you just want to leave me a comment, if you want to say, "Jay, you know, I felt that way my whole life." If you ever come across a piece of land, if a whole lot of you want to get together and we can buy a piece of land that's kind of off the beaten path, so we can do what we'd like to do, I am in favor of that. Like I said, I have thought about doing a Zenith commune, and maybe I'm just thinking too formal. Maybe we could do it in an informal way. Get together, buy a piece of property together, a pretty good sized one, and then divvy it up. Or get enough people to come together that we can do all that. And then we can live life on terms that make sense to us. You know, we don't have to come up with a government. I want to be free. I want everybody else to be free, too. Let's do that. If that sounds good to you, let's do it. I don't care what country it's in. You know, there's computers everywhere. I can fix computers everywhere. I've got the perfect situation now, but, you know, I have no problem with having, you know, with pulling up roots and going somewhere else. Or at least trying to. You know, Lisa will probably tell me, "No, Jay, we're not going to do that." You know, I come up with all kinds of wonderful ways to try and fit my present circumstances into what I'd like to do. And Lisa, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. She humors me and lets me go on, and then I finally come back and I say, "But you're not going to ever let me do any of this, are you?" And she kind of sheepishly shakes her head and goes, "I'm not going to let you do that, Jay." And that's pretty much the answer. It's sad, you know. I don't know what to tell people. Well, people say, "Oh, it's a really easy answer, Jay. Just divorce your wife and leave." And you go, "Nope, I won't do that to her. I respect and honor and love her too much. There's a standing offer to Lisa. I'm sorry. And people say, this is weird. And I say, anytime she feels like that living with me, living with our kids, is just too much and she can't handle it anymore and she wants to be free of this and she wants a divorce or anything like that, I'll give it to her happily and say, Lisa, I want you to be happy. If you can find somebody you think you can be happier with. And it isn't like, well, if you can find somebody you feel like you can be happier with, go ahead. It's like, no. I said, I'm being really honest. I'm not being facetious. If she can find a circumstance to where she'll be happier, I want her to be happy. If that happiness constitutes getting away from me and getting into something else instead, I'm not going to give her a moment's grief about it. I'm going to kiss her and give her a hug and say, I want to thank you for your love and your time and things like that. And thank you for the good times. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of existence. You know, I hope you find greener pastures than I was able to, that we together were able to come up with. Anyway, so, okay, I was going to end this 5 minutes ago, and I needed to, and I've gone off on some tangent that I really don't like. But we'll keep it. This is Jay Nebro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. This has been episode number 708. And, hi, am I getting more depressing as life goes on? I don't want to do that. I want to be depressed. Anyway, this is Jay Nebro. Have a great day. How can the right lane be closed? I hear I'm on this road. It's a one-lane road. It is the right lane. And it's saying the right lane will be closed in a certain amount of feet. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. There's only one lane. That means this lane's going to disappear. Ah, okay. Talk to you guys later. Bye.